This is the only hope to save America, to save Nigeria, to save Asia. Jesus revolution. And I've invited each one of you to join that revolution. It is my prayer that God, in his mercy, will bring us to that you will be part of that revolution in the name of Jesus. Shall we pray together right now? Our Father and our God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the way that you have guided us. We start this evening again. We thank you for the prayer opera. Thank you for your expectation for our lives and the cry that has come from our heart that we will not fail you, will not disappoint your expectation. Holy Spirit, as we go ahead tonight, we ask that you send us your word. Let your word mix with faith in our hearts and cause it to do something within us that we may arise, not when we become old and aged, but while we are yet young. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. I want to thank God for the opportunity again to continue where we stopped in the morning. Our first message, I was looking at the capacity, the potential capacity that God himself had located in the young. And the fact that it is not incredible that God should put a great hope, a great expectation upon you as a young person. Actually, according to the word of God, which I refer to in passing when we were discussing earlier, in Psalm 110, I would like to read that very quickly before I go on this evening again, because I want you to know, as a young man, as a young lady, that God, in his eternal plans, particularly in this end time, is thinking and focusing upon you. I read Psalm 110, 110, from verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Right from the beginning, God had already spoken concerning what the youth was going to contribute in bringing back the king and in establishing the kingdom of God while we are still here on the earth, before the Lord will come to establish his authority. So while God is talking to you as a young person, don't ever think it is incredible or it is something not to be expected that God is saying, is turning his attention to you. I have searched through scripture as I was sharing with you that the young people that God began to raise to turn the story around in their nations, in their generations, actually, as I checked, I found that between the age of 17, between the ages of 17, and 30, God was focusing on young people to bring revolution, to bring transformation, to bring revival, and to restore that which the enemy has stolen. And I want to again say, as I go on tonight, that I perceive that this particular SECO Youth and Student Congress this year is a clarion call, is a divine mobilization, and is a calling forth of something that is inside of you to be able to arise. When our sister began to lead us in the prayer opera, and she led us to look at the life of Jephthah, the son of Gideon, who could not rise to the challenge when his father wanted to showcase him, when his father wanted to prove that I have a son that can do something. We are told that the boy was afraid because he was a youth. They say he was yet a youth. Now that explanation that he was yet a youth was only what others have added. The father knew that all that is needed for Jephthah to strike this man was already in him, was already provided. Now, many people will think that you cannot do something because you are yet a youth. Many people will dismiss your carelessness and say, still yet a youth. But as we look at a Josiah, we saw that he was also yet young and see the kind of thing he began to do. When we look at Brother Joseph, I'm going to talk about that one tonight, we saw that he was only 30 years of age when he took over the economy of Egypt that made Egypt the superpower, the economic power for the then world at that time. He managed the economy of Egypt to such an extent that all nations from several parts of the world were going to Egypt for sustenance. Daniel was a young man. When he took over the leadership in Babylon, and we're going to look at all of these people. Esther was a young girl. You would think that because she was an orphan, her father and her mother died while she was still young. She was only brought up by a cousin, Mordecai, who himself was a captive, you know, taken away from the land of Israel. You would have thought that such a girl would have been doomed to carelessness. But they did something while they were yet young. It was not at old age. It was not when they got gray hair that they began to make a difference in their generation. So I'm going to be dealing this night what to do while you were yet young and what not to do while you were yet young. And in my mind, I was going to look into the family of Jacob, because the family of Jacob gave me a very panoramic analysis of young people that did what they ought to do or did what they ought not to do while they were young, and what was the repercussion to their lives when they are supposed to have become something. What happened to them? So I'm going to look at that. Then if I have space, we'll be able to move on quickly and look at other young people, young men, young ladies that God used. Now, while we look at examples in scriptures, there are examples in contemporary times of young ladies or young men that did something that turned their generation and our world around. I'm thinking of two young people that coincidentally they came from Scotland. I'm thinking about David Livingstone, who came all the way from Blantyre, a suburb of Scotland, of Glasgow, and went into Africa and spent his life exploring Africa for Christ. Anywhere you go now, when you go to Southern Africa, when you go to what we used to call Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, Or you come to Malawi, the present time that they used to call it Nyasa land. These were areas where David Livingstone poured out his life as a young man. He was a medical doctor, but he felt that he must go and pour his life out for Christ. He left his village, Blantyre. That's why when you go to Malawi today, one of the biggest cities in Malawi is Blantyre. And those of you that are familiar with church organization in Malawi, you will see that there are synods that are named after David Livingstone. They call it Livingstonia Synod, if you are from Malawi. Now, so we're saying that young people, at the prime of their years, there's something they did that left them a legacy, that gave them a name that our world cannot forget. Mary Slessor was a young lady, just about to get married, when she felt the challenge. She heard a message that came all the way from Africa, from some part of Nigeria, about orphans, about babies that are being thrown away. And she, being a teacher, she was touched. She was a young lady. She was actually engaged to be married. But when she heard, she said, now this is where I'm going to throw my life. And she left for Africa. She came over to Nigeria. She settled in the area around Calabar in Nigeria. And right now, as I'm talking to you, her life has been a testimony. One time I was passing through Scotland, and I was given a Scottish £10, only for me to see Mary Slessor's picture on that £10 note. And I said, can you see? She poured out her life as a young girl, and she became an icon, not only in Nigeria, even back in her country. They cannot forget what manner of honor Mary Slessor brought to the nation. Now, but because I want you to be biblical about the issues I want to raise, that's why I'm going to take examples from the family of Jacob, and I'm just going to look at some of his sons, and then if I'm able, I'll move out. I'll be looking at what to do while you are young, what not to do while you are young. Why am I talking about while you are yet young? It is because what you did not do now that you are young will become the fatal omission of your life when you are old. The foundation you did not build now that you are young will become the sinking sand of your life, of your career, when you grow old. The choice you did not make while you are young, it will become the mistake of your life in the years ahead. So the reason why I am so concerned about what to do while you are yet young, or what not to do while you are yet young, is because this segment of your life, this point at which you are, is a determinant matrix of what you are going to become in the future. What you are lazy about now, don't hope to get it when you are old. What you did not bend down to acquire now, don't expect that it will come to you by chance or by luck in your old age. It doesn't happen like that. So I'll look at this because of the time we have, that is not much. I'll go quickly. I'll be a bit synoptic about them. Now, I'm looking at the family of Jacob, and I want to present to you few of his children. I want to talk to you about Reuben. I want to talk to you about Simeon. I want to talk to you about Levi. I want to talk to you about Dinah. Dinah was the only girl in the family of Jacob. But while I talk about that, I would like to quickly look at Joseph, who is also from that family. And if I'm able, I will draw your attention to Esther. I'll draw your attention to Daniel. Now, because of the order in which these children operated, it appeared to me as if the first order that I can find are those who engage in themselves in what they ought not to do with their youth. Those who engage themselves in something that will become, you know, a testimony against them in their youth. So I will quickly begin with what you ought not to do, what you should avoid, what you should deliberately be careful not to fall into now that you are young, so that the future of your life will not be jeopardized. Now, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 49. That's where the summary of these young people come out. And I think if I just do from there, I will be all right, so I can save my time. Genesis chapter 49. I'll read from verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn. You are my might, and you are the beginning of my strength. You are the excellency of dignity, and you are the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you will not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they armstrong an ox. Cause be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I'll divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Let me stop there. Those are the first three sons that I need to talk about. And the reason I need to talk about them is that they came first. They came first. Now, what are the issues that I would like you to note? The first thing that struck me as I opened that scripture, I said, Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." You know what is touching me is that he was telling his children what will befall them in the last days. And what will make those things to befall them in the last days is what they did while they were young. My friend, listen carefully to me. What will befall you in the last day is likely to be as a result of what you did while you are young. What will become your story at the end of your time is likely to be determined, to be either disfigured or colored by the things you are doing now while you are yet young. Now, this is the issue. If to say what you are doing now will not affect what will befall you in the last days, I would have said, live your life anyhow you like. When you get to that time, you can find out and do something right. But it's not like that, my brother. It's not like that, my sister. What you did not do well, now that you are young, will tell on who you are and who you can become in the final days of your life. So when he said, "that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days," I first of all thought he just wanted to stand up and begin to prophesy to them. But when I saw that he started talking about what will befall them because of what they did, because of where they are coming from, it jolted me, made me to start thinking that so does it mean that my decision now that I'm young is going to have a bearing on what I become when I'm old? Does it then mean that what I do now, even as a young man or as a young lady, that I thought it didn't matter, so it will become a matter in my older days? That's why my heart is yearning. Since God has a great hope, a great expectation, a great desire on what you will become, and as the choir from Liberia sang, this is the hope for revolution. This is what is going to bring about a change in all the nations where you come from. What you choose to do now that you are young, that's what God is speaking about. Now let's look at the first son, Reuben. Reuben, look at the kind of thing that the father began to say. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. You know, it touched me that this meeting was in the midst of all his children. And everybody had regarded Reuben as the senior brother. Reuben was the firstborn among 12 boys and one daughter. Now, Reuben, as we are talking, if you are the firstborn of your parents or you are the firstborn of your family, you know that you are the heir. You are supposed to be the heir. You are supposed to have the first place. Unfortunately, something happened to Reuben some years earlier while he was younger that will now affect what he could become now. The Bible said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. You are my might. You are the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. You see, as I was dealing with capacity earlier today, I was looking at what God had put in you, what you can become, and what you can do in your generation. This was the expectation of Jacob concerning Reuben. Say, Reuben, you are my firstborn. That means you are the one that carries the freshness of my strength. You are the one that I first concentrated upon because you are the first. Because you are the first, I expected you to be first. Because you are the first, I expected you to be a pace setter. Because you are the first, I expected that you will be the manifestation of my might. You will be the manifestation of my might. You will be the expression of my might. You know, as I'm reading this, it is just touching my heart that God could be speaking about one of you. God could be speaking about one sister there, one brother there. And God is saying, look, you are my might. I'm expecting that you will be the demonstration of my might. You are the beginning of my strength. As if you are the springboard of my strength. The thing that I carry, it was you I was expecting that we manifested fully. You are the one I was expecting that will bring glory to my name. I was really looking forward to what you will do in your generation and how you will carry the covenant that God has placed on my father, Abraham, my father, Isaac, and he has placed upon me. I was expecting that you are the next on the line. You are the next to carry that glorious covenant. You are the excellency of dignity. You know, when you use the word excellency, I don't know how to express the word excellency, because when something is excellent, it means there's nothing better than it. When we say you are the excellency of dignity, as if to say Reuben was being prepared to be the best of the best, to be the specimen among men, to demonstrate the glory, the dignity of God in his own generation. This was the capacity that he was born with. This was what he was meant to become. The excellency of power. Power. Authority was to be vested in this young man. But something happened to him, that his father began to speak from verse 4. And I want you to see it. He said, as unstable as water, you shall not excel. Here is a young man that's supposed to be excellency of dignity, excellency of power. How will it now become like this in the last days? How will his end now be a man that is as unstable as water? And he said, no matter how you try, you shall not excel. Now I was wondering, why? Eh? Papa Jacob, why are you saying this about Brother Reuben? What are you talking about? That's how all the other junior brothers were opening their mouths. I said, Reuben, what is happening? We thought you are the first and you are the one that will lead us. What is Papa saying here? What did you do? Why is Papa saying you are not going to excel and that you are going to be as unstable as water? What did you do? When did you do it? Then the Papa said, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defied it. While all the other young men say, you slept with our father's wife? Eh? Jacob repeated, he said, he went up to my couch. Now I quickly wanted to check, when did Reuben do that? And then you go and see it in Genesis chapter 35. Please follow me quickly to Genesis 35. And you will see something very quickly there. Now, only one thing I wanted to point out. I know you have time, you can read your own Bible and study. But because I want you to note what you ought not to do while you are yet young, so that you do not confiscate the excellency that you could have become in life. What you need to avoid now that you are young, so that the last days, the days ahead of you, will not be jeopardized. Now, in Genesis 35, I would just like you to read in verse 22, it's just verse 22, maybe I should read verse 21 and 22. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Eder. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, and they began to list their names. Now, you will be surprised that something happened. Now, if I were to tell you what has happened, when Jacob was to return to Bethel, several things took place in his life. He encountered God. God has changed his life, and several things has happened. But in verse 16, as they journeyed from Bethel, just a little way for them to come to Ephrath, Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died. So you can see a terrible tragedy just happened in the family. Rachel died. Rachel, you know, was the very, very choice woman in the life of Reuben's father. So while the father was still sorrowing for the death of Rachel, the only thing that Reuben can do to comfort his father was to go and be sleeping with his father's concubine. When they say it came to pass, you know the way it came to me is that it happened. It happened. My brother, there are many things that you must not allow to happen. My dear sister, there are several things you must not allow to happen. Are you a young lady? Don't let it happen that you just went for a bachelor's eve for a friend of yours, and it so happened that you have a young man, and that day he went and slept with you. Do you know that when you thought that it just like that, just like that, it might finalize the excellency that God could have planned for your life? It happened. It came to pass that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Now, you know what is touching my heart? Was that I'm looking at how old Reuben could be at the time he was sleeping with his father's wife. I'm just imagining how old was he. Because, you know, when Jacob got to the land, he sojourned there for about 20, 21 years. And because Reuben was the firstborn, I expected that maybe after the 7 years that he served and they gave him Leah, I perceived that maybe the first year, that is 8 years that he was there, Reuben was born. So by the time they were leaving the land of they are leaving Laban, Reuben may have been something like 15 or 16. So by the time we are talking now in Bethel, I don't think he may have been more than 22 years. I don't think so. It may just be about 20, 21 years. How did he get attracted to go and sleep with his father's concubine? I'm not talking about the woman now. It pains me that you will have a woman who does not have carefulness, who doesn't have a sense of shame, that you're sleeping with a father and you're sleeping with a son. There are such women everywhere. But that's not my concern about them. Such women that have no destiny, they have no future, they are looking for young men to destroy. Are you the one that you have a sugar daddy? Hey, my dear sister, you have a sugar daddy. This man is in his 60s and he's coming to your campus to carry you out. You are just 18, 19, and a sugar daddy is carrying you up and down. You don't know that the man has already made his own life. He was only there now to destroy your own destiny. Let it not happen. Let it not happen. No matter the attraction, that attraction will become your downfall tomorrow. I don't know what Bilhah did that Reuben could go and lay with her. But it was not about Bilhah we are talking today. Nobody was blaming Bilhah. It was a man of destiny that is wasting his own destiny. That is the matter. So today, when he was supposed to be excellency of dignity, excellency of power, the beginning of might, the manifestation of strength, now the Bible said, you will never excel. What's the meaning of that? That means no matter how he tries, he will not excel. No matter how he labors, he will be scattered. He will be unstable. For what? Just because he defied his father's couch. But if you read your Bible, that verse 22 says, and it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel had it. Now, they say Israel had it, and he did not say anything. There are things you have done that you thought nobody has heard. There are things that you have done that your parent, you think your parent doesn't know about it. There are things that you are doing that you thought you have neatly covered up. You don't know that when you bury a seed, you have only planted it. And every time you bury a seed, when it will shoot forth, it will not be only one seed. My brother, every sin you bury that you did not confess, every sin that you have not confessed and you are hiding it, you have only planted it. I'm telling you, when it will shoot out, it will not just come one. You bury one grain, you are going to reap 1,000 of it. So, can you imagine? I don't know how long he slept with Bilhah. I don't know whether he took a whole night. I don't know how much enjoyment he could have derived sleeping with a woman that was, let me not describe that woman. I don't know what was his enjoyment. But surely that enjoyment may not be more than for one day. But for one day misbehavior, his rest of his life is now being finished. What you must not do while you are young. There are boundaries you must not cross while you are yet young. There are pits you must not dig while you are young. For the Bible says, whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall into it. Whosoever breaketh an edge, that is, break a boundary, serpent is behind to bite him. I want to ask you, don't dig a pit for your own downfall. It may not appear as any pitfall today. It is in the future that what you did while you were yet young will become the pitfall of your own life. Now, even though Israel heard it and he did not speak about it, the Bible said, now so they now started listing the sons of Leah, the sons of Rachel, and they said 12 children and a daughter. I wonder why the Bible ended like that. Sometimes when I read my scripture, I say, God, you didn't continue the story of Reuben. Why did you stop it? Why did you bring just one verse to talk about what Reuben did? And you did not even explain, no explanation, nothing. Only for me to come to chapter 49 and discover that what he did in one Bible verse that nobody noted has now become a reference that will make his life a useless life completely. Now, go quickly to the next boys that did something in their youth and it was going to affect their last days. Now, he says Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Hey, young men, are you very aggressive? You are cruel. Are you very, very, oh my God, your heart is so hard. When you decide to do something in anger, your anger is very fierce. When you are angry, there's something you cannot do. And what did these boys do? He said, instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger, they slew a man. Some of you wonder whether anger can destroy your future. Some of you don't understand that the kind of thing you do now, when you are furious, when you are angry, when you are uncontrollably, aggressive, you may wonder, can that affect your future? Surely, surely, surely. You see, when you are growing up as a young man, there are things that may not speak now, but because they are seeds, they are foundations that you are laying, the future will call back on it. Now, in what situation did this happen? Again, you need to go back to see when they did what they did. It was in chapter 34 of Genesis. When Dinah, their only sister, their junior sister, went out I'll be talking about Gina now because I'll be talking about what a girl ought not to do. Because as I'm talking to brothers, as I'm talking to young men, I'm talking to young ladies. Each one of you have great destinies that God wants to use you for. But again, you might make a mistake now that you are young, and it might finish the opportunities of your future. That's what I really want to ask you to consider. Now, Dinah went out, and she was caught by the prince of the land, and that one said he loved her so much, and what was the result? He took her by force, raped her, and disvirgined the girl. That girl would have been the pride of their father, being the only daughter among 12 brothers. She had all the protection. You can imagine that if you have only one daughter, only one sister in your family, see how all of you brothers, how you are very protective of your junior sister. That's how they were so protective of her, of Dinah. But it was Dinah's fault. Nobody was going to tell you the story. It was Dinah that left. The Bible said, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, chapter 34, verse 1, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. What's the meaning of that? What's the meaning of that? She went out. She went out of the grace of God. She went out of the confines of her parents. She went out of the family inheritance. What does she want? She wants to be like the other women. She wanted to see the daughters of the land. She wants to see how they are dressing. She wanted to see what they are doing. And I can imagine some of you young sisters, you are hearing me. As soon as you went to the university, you look back to your parents' house and the family say, Kai, thank God I have escaped. You thought that your parents' house and your parents' instruction was a cage. So you thought, now I've got to the university, the land of freedom, where I can do anything I like, I can go anywhere I like. That's how Dinah went out. He went out from instruction. He went out from every discipline she was brought up with. She went out. She wanted to be like the daughters of the land. Who are the daughters of the land? These are girls that are reckless. These are girls that would dress almost half naked. These are girls that are well experienced in immorality. She wanted to keep company with them. She said, let me just go and see the daughters of the land. I could see some of our young ladies. You are being brought up under a proper tutelage. You are being brought up in discipleship. You are being brought up with godly values. But something is telling you, no. They are keeping me in bondage. They are keeping me in a gate. I need to go out. And I see you sneaking out. When everybody thought you're already in your room, you already sneaked out. You have gone. There's a boy that is standing behind the fence, makes a signal to you, and you have gone out. Before anybody knows, you have gone. That's how Dinah left. How she left, and we did not know all the fence that his 12 brothers will have, her 12 brothers will have mounted around her. We don't know how she left. Are you in the university and you have gone out? Are you a young lady and you have already gone out? Now, what happened to her? The Bible said, when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defied her. I don't have time to be explaining all of that. But what I saw was that here's a Dinah that will have been the queen of the family of Jacob. Here's a Dinah that will have perpetuated the dynasty that God was building in that family. I don't know whether her womb was being reserved by God to raise a great lineage. Could God have just given Dinah to the family of Jacob so that she could have become another mother in Israel? But you see what happened to her now. She went out. She was defied. That was the last point we can hear about Dina. Dina finished her life with a temporary enjoyment. But now the trouble is that her senior brothers, Levi and Simeon, they were so offended, so aggressive, so annoyed, so angry, that even when Shechem came to beg and said, look, I really love this girl. I really love this girl. Simeon and Levi, they stood up, they said, no, no, you can't defile our sister like that and go scot-free. He said, but whatever you are going to collect, I'm ready to pay. Whatever you charge me, I'm willing to pay. Do you know these boys, what they did? They said, well, before we listen to you, we cannot give our daughter to any uncircumcised people like you. You would think that they are jealous for the principle of circumcision. But they are only using religion to execute their own anger. What did they do? They said, before we can discuss, we want all men, all your male men, before we can give our daughter to you, you must go and get circumcised. And because this young man really loved Dina, he was ready to go and get circumcised. So at that age, you know, circumcision for boys used to be done after 8 days of age. These men are going to be circumcised at 22, 24, 25. And circumcision without anesthesia. That was what they were going to do, just so that they can get dinner into their family. So the boy got circumcised. All his brothers and all the men in the land, they got circumcised. Because they said, if we get circumcised, it means we can freely marry these people because they are great people. We want to become part of them. So while they were circumcised and their wound was still not healed, I can imagine when you get circumcised, an old man like that, you can't wear your pants. They were only putting on their big dress to cover. So while they were still sitting down there, you know, their legs scattered with all the pains, Simeon and Levi, they took a counsel together. That's why Jacob said, let my soul not enter their counsel. They went and said, what are we going to do now? Now that these people are weak, we're going to deal with them. And that's how they went. And they killed these men while they were still in their weakness. And Jacob said, why did you do this? You have made me to stink before these people. You have spoiled my name. Hey, why did you do this? They say, yes. Why should we not do that? Can we allow him to misbehave with our sister? That was the end of the story. Chapter 34 ended with their question. And they said, should we deal with our sister as with an allot? That was the end of that chapter. You would think that that chapter ended. But it ended with a big question mark. When you raise a question with a question mark, you are waiting for an answer. Am I right? The answer to that question did not come in chapter 35. It did not come in chapter 36. It did not come in chapter 40. It's only in chapter 49 that the answer to that question was coming. And the answer to that question is saying, let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to the assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and I will scatter them in Israel. Now, they did that while they were young. And the question in their mind said, yes, why should anybody treat our sister as a harlot? That's why we kill them. That's why we dealt with them. And they were, you know, fuming in their anger, not knowing that that is a seed that will speak in the years to come. My brother, what are you doing? It's your anger. Some of you are listening to me. You are very, 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 very fierce. You're a young man, but you are very cruel. You have broken the heart of many people. Can you imagine that you, listen to me, you are the one who disvirgined a girl who said you promised to marry her. After you have taken the flower of her life, and you have rendered her useless. What did you do? You littered her. And you went for her first, our best friend. And you took that one. And you began to make jest of this girl. He said, well, if you want, she's my leftover. She's my leftover. And you think that you are going to have a family in the future. If God will not have mercy on you, if you will not repent today, what will happen to you in the latter days may be serious. You may never have a home. A young man misbehaved the other time, some years ago. There was a sister that he was to get married to, and everything was going well. And at the nick, at the height of the thing, this young man just misbehaved and littered the sister and began to say all kinds of things. And I called him, I said, my brother, what you have done, you are sowing a seed. I am not sure you are going to get married if you don't repent. And from then till now, he's still struggling. The reason is because you may do one thing in one day or in 1 week or in 1 year while you are yet young. If it's not corrected, if it is not uprooted, it will grow. This thing was not uprooted. Of course, Dina became a very useless non-entity. We don't know what has happened to her. I was wishing they have allowed Dina at least to marry that man. Since it was her mistake. If they are married, maybe it would have been all right. But unfortunately, her brother will not allow it. So she's not married. She had nothing. There's nothing to say about Dina anymore. In fact, when you are listing the children of Jacob, you say nothing about her. She died with nothing. One single going out finished her own future. My dear sister, are you hearing me? Are you a dinner? Are you feeling that the instruction that you are hearing in the word of God is too strong? Are you thinking that they should allow you to be free? They should allow you to be free. Is that why you are visiting pornographic sites? Is that why you are keeping company with lesbians? Is that why you are beginning to misbehave? Do you know that what you are doing, you are laying a seed that when you reap it, it will become terrible in your final days? Now, I've spoken enough about what ought not to do. If you fall into sin, my friend, confess it. I wish Reuben had confessed, pleaded with his father for forgiveness in chapter 35. Chapter 49 would not have arisen like that. Now, if you have time, now no time, I would have wanted you to go to the book of Chronicles when they are listing genealogies. They said Reuben should have been the firstborn, but the right of the firstborn was taken away from him because of his misbehavior, and it was given to Joseph. Now, so let's go quickly and look at Joseph. What you ought to do now that you are still young. What you ought to do. I'm looking now at Joseph. Again, Joseph is of the same family with Jacob. I mean, family of Jacob. So he's a junior brother to brother Reuben. And when I look at their lives, the story of brother Joseph came up in chapter 37. I'll just read two verses there, go to chapter 39, and I will conclude what I need to say about Joseph. Because if I were to settle down to deal with the story of Joseph, it would have been a story. If the Lord permits, we might want to pick young people that did the right thing while they were yet young, and what was their repercussion. We may need to deal with that, as the Lord permits me, tomorrow. But I just want you to note this for tonight. Joseph We are told, Genesis 37 and verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now that's the first thing I want you to note. He was 17 years. So I want you to think about how old Joseph was when he began to distinguish himself, when he began to seek the face of God, when he began to dream his dreams. He was 17 years. He was 17 years. My brother, I want to tell you, you are not too young to dream your dreams. You are not too young to be different. You are not too young. You don't have to allow peer pressure to spoil where you are going in life. Joseph was growing in the midst of 11 brothers. Brothers that are reckless. Brothers that can just go on the field, catch other people's wives, and sleep with them. Brothers that are reckless, they will drive their father's cattle onto people's farms. They will destroy people's farms. And if those people rise up and say, "Why are you doing this?" they will beat them up. That's the kind of men you have. We still have such people in our land today. You may call them cattle herdsmen. They will deliberately carry their car, and they are young people. When you go and check, you notice that they are also age 18, 19, 20, 21. You won't see one old aged man doing that. They don't know that they are laying a foundation for a future that will become bleak. Now, but here was Joseph in the midst of his brothers. When he would say to them, "Hey, don't let us do this. This is not good." They say, "Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut." And when they do that, he only went to tell his dad and say, "Baba, please talk to my brothers. The way they are behaving is not good. They are going to spoil your name in the community." Eh? When we went out the other time, apart from that they were sleeping with all those daughters of those people, they are destroying people's farm with our cattle. And if anybody talked, they would just cause quarrel and problems. And sometimes they would just wound people. They were just reckless. "Dad, please talk to my brothers." When they heard that he was a different boy, they hated him. Now, how do you act when your roommate is reckless? Do you join his recklessness? Do you hide your faith? Or you take a stand? Joseph was taking a stand in the midst of brothers that are cruel. You can imagine that Brother Simeon, Brother Levi, they were the people that agreed that they should sell their brother. They are so cruel that even when the young man is crying and crying, they still hit his head and say, "Go and tell your daddy at home." That's what they were. But he did not learn their bad behavior. Are you hearing with me? You're a young man. I know you're under peer pressure. But peer pressure must not make you to lose your direction in life. The people that are putting pressure on you now, they will not be there when your destiny has been spoiled. In our local language, they say 20 children cannot play together for 20 years. Those that you think are your classmates now, and with them you are going to learn wrong things. You that you don't know how to smoke before, they are beginning to introduce you to smoking cigarettes, marijuana, and all of those things. And you are thinking that you just want to belong. No, you don't have to belong. You already belong to God. You belong to Jesus. You belong to a class of men and women upon whom God has a great expectation. You don't have to belong to those who are going nowhere. Joseph began to have his dreams. Now, the long and short of his dreams was that God was showing him a future. God was preparing him for something he was going to become. But his brothers, because they hated him, they sold him out until he became a slave in Egypt. And the last verse of chapter 37, verse 26 says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. That's how they sold him. So he became a slave in the house of Potiphar. But if you go to chapter 39, the Bible said Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, my brothers, now that you are young, you need to cultivate a relationship with God. Joseph, even though his brother sold him out, he became a slave. I can't tell you the psychological oppression that could have brought to him. Here is a child that was beloved of his father, having diverse coat of diverse colors. Here is a child that was brilliant. Now he had been sold out. He's now a slave. And he's now being pushed up and down. But there was something that he did not lose. He did not lose God. He did not lose the presence of God in his life. He was there deliberately holding God's hand. And the Bible said, even in the house of Potiphar, the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, God made it to prosper. So he began to be so useful. Potiphar could not think twice. He handed over all his businesses to him. And this boy was growing well. At 17 years of age, he was already managing the business of Potiphar. Now, I will be trusting God that when I come back tomorrow to continue dealing with this, I'll be telling you what God actually wants you to be. I'm dealing with what you must do or what you must not do. But tomorrow I'll be looking at what you must be, what God wants you to be while you are young. I'm seeing a young man here at 17. He was the manager of the business of his master. At 17, he could handle accounts. He could get everything done. Why were you thinking that you are too young to be responsible? How are you thinking that at 17, somebody need to wake you up in the before you know how to wake up? Some of you now, you are 20, and the way you are behaving, as if you still want to suck your mother's breast. Some of you, you are finishing your teenage. You are now getting to 20, 21, and you are still doing as if you are still sleepwalking. When will you strike your generation? When will you become an asset to your family? He became an asset to a house where he was sold in bondage. To the extent that the woman of the house, Mrs. Potiphar, fell in love with him and started chasing him about, looking for how to befriend him, how to lure him into sexual immorality. Now, I know I've talked to young boys. You are the one running after girls. How terrible it is when girls are the one running after a boy. How terrible it is when it is girls that are rolling their eyes 360 degrees inside their socket just to catch you. How terrible it is when a girl deliberately decided to dress loosely so that you can see the cinema of her inner wares. What will you do? There was Joseph waking up day and night. This woman just cornering him here and there. But Joseph decided, I will not spoil my dream. I will not do one thing and my future will be jeopardized. So when that woman said, lay with me, Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness? How can I sin against the Lord in line with you? And your husband left all that he had in my hand. except what he ate. How can I do this terrible thing? To sleep with you, madam? No, no, I can't do that. He refused. He said to his master's wife, behold, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me. But you, because you are his wife, how dare can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. That's to tell you, it was not a one-day temptation. It was a temptation that was daily. Everywhere I go, Jojo, Jojack, JJ, can you bring me water there? Please come to my bedroom and pick something for me. All of those were traps. And Joseph said, I have a dream for my life. My life will not be a waste. I'm not going to finish my journey on the lap of an old woman. No, I'm going somewhere. No matter the passion for sin, passion for sex, as a young man, now that you are young, this is not the time to do that. This is not the time to give yourself to illicit sex. There are women of easy virtues everywhere around you. You don't need to fall. And there are men that have lost their sense of dignity. They can sleep with you. You are not older than their youngest daughter. And yet, they are telling you that they love you so much. Those are wicked men. Young sister, you must not let it happen. You can't sell your destiny with few dollars. You can't allow somebody to take you to an hotel just for a weekend. And there you finish your life. For what? You are too valuable than to sell yourself out as a mere chicken. As I want to stop on this note here tonight, can I ask you, I saw a Joseph refusing. And because he did that, they even cast him into prison for 13 years. But by the time he was 30, God had promoted him. He had become like the prime minister in Egypt. He was directly under the president Pharaoh. And every business, he was in charge of it. I have no time to talk about him tonight. I may be able to talk about him when I'm talking about other young men who made a difference. Daniel was there in Babylon and said, I will not defy myself. It is defilement while you are young that defiles your destiny. If you defy yourself now that you are young, I can tell you, you are defiling the destiny that God has for you. So when Daniel said, I will not defy myself with what the king is eating. I'm not going to defy myself with the wine they are drinking. I'm not going to defy myself. You know, people are saying, how can you say what the king is eating is a defilement? He said, for you, you may be cracking those bones, but for me, I'm going somewhere. I have a relationship to maintain with God. I have a journey to make. I have a nation to affect. I have a captivity to end. I sense that God is sending me, raising me up for something crucial to do for my nation. I cannot cripple myself here. And he decided not to define himself. He had three brothers that they used to pray together. Four of them agreed together and said, we are not going to defile ourselves. And they stood in the hall of the University of Babylon where they were being trained. They stood. They were different. And God honored them. So if we are talking about Daniel today, if we are talking about Joseph today, it is not at their old age that they did anything. What they become in their old age was what they did while they were yet young. So I stop here. Now, if I were to go further, I would have looked at another girl like Esther. Esther was an orphan, I told you. And as an orphan, she should have been going up and down, running up and down with men. They say, well, my mother is not there, my father is not there, nobody to take care of me. The fact that you lost your parents does not mean you must lose your life. The fact that your parents are dead is not a reason why you must lose your destiny. You have a life to live. It's okay, you're already born. Life is already thrown at you. Do something with it. Are you an orphan somewhere? Did you lose your parents sometime? And that's why you decided out of bitterness, say, well, I will take life anyhow I find it. No, what you are doing, and you know, such girls, they won't die young. You won't die young. You may think that if you do abortion, you will die. You will not die. You may destroy your uterus, and you will still live so long. And nobody is willing to marry you. They say, how do you marry a woman without a womb? So you are going to be frustrated for life. That you are an orphan or that you are coming from a poor family does not mean you should sell your body at all. Sister Esther remained a virgin. She was a virgin. So when they were looking for someone to become the queen of that great kingdom that controls over 127 provinces, that extended from Ethiopia to India, can you imagine? From Africa to Asia, that kingdom was controlled, and the man that is the king was going to be her husband. I'm asking you, the capacity that God is placing before you, you can't make it cheap. You can't sell it cheap. As I pray with you, I see Jesus Christ standing by you and say, my daughter, my son, what you do today, may tie my hand in blessing you tomorrow. I know that Jacob was not happy saying the kind of thing he said about his first three sons. It was not a joy to have sons that are supposed to be the dignity of your strength, and then this time you are saying they will be unstable. It was painful. But it was what they did that tied his hand. And I'm seeing Jesus standing by you and say, what you do now, we either tie my hand or lose my hand over you. The sin you are committing now, we either block my eyes from looking at you for what I considered you for. So as we will be praying, wherever you are, again, I'm happy that maybe you are in your corner. Maybe you are alone in the room when maybe you are just watching this message on your own, or you are in a company of few people. As I will pray, I want you to take a decision. A young man like yourself at 17 said, how can I commit this great wickedness? Even if somebody is begging you every day with sex, how can I spoil my life with cheap sex? It may look cheap to you today, but it's costly on your destiny. They may tell you it doesn't cost you anything. Yes, it may cost you nothing as it appears, but it's costing you a great deal of your future. So as you are going to pray now, have you fallen? The Holy Spirit is saying, yes, I have come to rescue you now that you are still young. What you've done before, if you can confess it, the Bible says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Jesus Christ is saying, their sins and their iniquity, I'll remember no more, but only for those who confess it. Say, whosoever confesses the sin shall obtain mercy. But whosoever covereth the sin will not prosper. As we call on God together with you tonight, before we release you to go, can you call on God personally and say, Lord Jesus, my life must not be a waste. If it is in the future that you will take a decision that will affect your future, it will not have been a matter. But today, what you are doing now that you are young is what will determine and define your future. It will define your marriage. It will define your career. It will define your possibilities. It will define even your chances. That's why it is a cry in my heart this night to say to you, take a step. Josiah began to seek the Lord while he was yet young. And I said to you, that was a great step. I wish you will also seek the Lord today. You will say, Father, why am I drifting? Where am I drifting? What am I trying to do? What am I trying to fall into? Why am I mortgaging my future on a small thing? When you should be training for your future, when you should be training in your career, when you should be developing skills that will be needed in the future, which I will be looking at when we meet again tomorrow. Why will you be doing anything that does not add value to you? Are there some of you that you are addicted to movies? You spend hours upon hours. Let me ask you, what value has he added to your life? It has only, you should have been a first class student, but I see you now in the borderline of third class. Not because you are not brilliant, but your mind had been scattered. You sleep late almost every night. You wake up tired. When you are supposed to have a sound mind, you are sleepy in the class. Whatever lecturer is saying cannot enter your head because your eyes is still on those things that you was watching all night. Can I call on you? Those things that you are doing, they will have impact on the future, what you are going to become in the coming days. Now you can pray. The reason why this meeting has come to you is because, as far as I can hear God speaking, heaven is saying the next move of God and the next manifestation, the next revolution that God is going to bring to the earth before the coming of the Son of God will be spearheaded by young people. People that are offering the due of their youth to the Lord. People that are breaking forth while they are still young. It is not when they are old. You will be striking your generation at the prime of your years. You will not be 50 before you begin to strike your generation. That's what God is saying to me. But those things that can quickly cripple you, you must uproot it today. Those secret sins that want to cut you short, you must cut it down today. Please bow your head as we pray together. Call on God and say, Lord, you saw my future and you are speaking to me about what I can become. I can see some of you hearing me and God is saying, this could be the president of Liberia tomorrow. God is speaking and saying, this can be the first lady of that nation tomorrow. And who says you cannot be? Those that are leaders today, they were once upon a time students. Some of them did not even have the kind of preparation that God is giving you. Who told you that you cannot aspire to the highest office in your nation? I want you to bow your head and say, God, my life must not be wasted. Lord, your vision for me must not be scattered. I'm hearing you say, and the dignity, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power, the beginning of your strength, the manifestation of your glory. Lord, I will never die a shadow. Pray that prayer. Whether you're in South Africa, Botswana, pray that prayer. Call on God right now. Are you in Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, whichever part? And you are saying, but we are not too many in my country that are following this way. It's not about majority. Daniel was not a majority in Babylon. Joseph was not a majority in Egypt. He was not even an Egyptian. But God brought them to leadership. Esther was not even a native of that country. She was a captive, and yet she became the queen. Who says anything can, God cannot make something out of your life? You are the only one that can cut yourself short. And what can cut you short is sin that you have not confessed, pressures that you are giving yourself unto. Surrender to Jesus right away. Ask him to step into your life. I'm speaking to you because I'm believing that those of you that are 16, those of you that are 15, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, by the time you are striking 25, you should have been striking your destiny. bow your head and say, Lord, take my life today. Ask Jesus to come in. I know if Reuben had confessed in chapter 35, chapter 49 will not be the same. I know if Simeon and Levi did not argue with their father and say, hey, should we treat our sister as a harlot? And the chapter closed with their anger. I know chapter 49 would not have been what it was. Are you still, fuming up and down? And you say, well, it doesn't matter. Let the Lord talk to me. What are you saying? Don't let your years, the years ahead of you, become a reaping, a harvest of your misbehavior of today. Jesus stand there and said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I would like to pray for you. I would like to pray with you. Again, even though I cannot see you directly, but the Lord is there with you. He sees you. What I want you to do now is lift up your right hand and say, Lord, I want to put this right hand in your hand. I want you to help me. I know the pressure you are going through, but God can see you through. He saw Joseph through. He saw Daniel through. He saw Esther through. He saw Mary through. All those women, all those young men that became something for God. He saw Josiah through. For you to know Josiah, his own father Manasseh was reckless. But Josiah became a different man because he chose God. Can you make your choice this night and say, Lord, I'm putting my hand in your hand. Step into my life afresh. Maybe you are in a viewing center. You might even take a stand where you are and just go towards the front and just kneel down and say, Lord, today I want to make a decision and I want to make it public. I want to stand before you. I don't want to go back again. That addiction to pornography, that addiction to movie, that has rendered you less than what you are supposed to be, ask God today, please deliver me from it. That anger, that fury, that thing that makes you take very, very, very terrible decisions without thinking of the repercussion. Tell God, deliver me now. Some of you, because you are disappointed by a boy, you decided to be reckless. So you are going about with boys and here and there, and they are sleeping with you. You say, after all, there's no reason why I should keep myself. You are taking a costly decision. It's too costly. What you are spending is your destiny. How could you spend your destiny on something useless? Pray and say, Lord, take my life now. Lord Jesus, I hand over to you. I want you to have your way with me from this moment. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, as many as are praying, there are yet others that have not defied themselves. They're like Esther. They're like Joseph. They're like Daniel. But they're saying, Lord, I don't want to give up. Lord Jesus, I'm asking that this night, as they're taking decisions, those that are saying, please forgive me, please change my story, Lord, I want to change their story. Step into their lives. Jesus, take over. Even those that have made very costly mistakes, Lord, I know there's a second chance for them. One is saying, but I've just aborted. Can God have mercy on me? Lord, I know. Mary Magdalene did more than that. Rahab was a harlot. But when she repented, she became a choice vessel in your hand. I ask you this night, Lord, as many as are speaking to you, please step into their lives. Those that are saying, Lord, I will not defy myself despite the pressure, please hold their hand. All together, Lord, your vision of the youth, your vision of this young man, young lady, will not be thwarted. We are going to celebrate them in the coming days. They are going to become answers to the cry of their nations. We are praying, Lord, that you make them answers to the need of this generation. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.
We thank the Lord for his word. We are grateful to the Lord who challenges us to make proper and correct choices whilst we are yet young, before it is too late. The Lord who is helping us to watch what kind of seed. Oh, Brother is here. Over to you, sir. Unmute your mic and finish.
Praise the Lord. We are grateful to God for what he has done. It's our prayer that this would be a permanent work in the name of Jesus Christ. Our meeting is concluding here tonight or for today. And I want to just make some quick announcement before we conclude together again in prayer. Please, this meeting continues by the grace of God tomorrow. Now, young people, you can see that God means business with you. And it will be wisdom for you to avoid every form of distraction. Don't let anything distract you. The point to which you have come, now you cannot afford to miss out on any of the session again. So please make yourself available tomorrow in the morning. The session will kick off at 10 a.m. West African time, which is GMT plus one. So that will guide the rest of you from the other parts of the world to know what that time is in your own place. You can see on the screen, there is provision for e-counseling. If you have a need to be counseled, there are issues that God has raised in your heart, and there are things that the Holy Spirit has challenged, and question is coming up in your heart. So how do I go now? Maybe you have entangled yourself and you don't know how to unwind and come out of that trap. God has made provision even through this medium. You can signify if you log into livingseed.org/counseling, you will find the provision there for you to raise your counseling needs or request, and there are counselors that are also waiting to attend to such needs. By the grace of God, we will continue to pray and trust God that all of our preparations, everything will run smooth as we return tomorrow. Can we pray together in conclusion of this meeting for today? Let's pray together. But
We are concluding in prayer. We thank the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. Lord, we thank you for how far you have led us throughout the day. We ask that as we meditate and reflect back on the issues you began to raise, that there is a capacity that you have planted in us. You have a great expectation of on who we should become. Not only you have that expectation, Lord, that we should not be a disappointment to you. Oh Lord, our God, we pray that by your Spirit our inner man shall be strengthened indeed to carry Christ and to wield the living sword, even your word in this corrupt generation. In the name of Jesus we pray. We ask Heavenly Father that your grace shall grant us a peaceful rest tonight, refresh us for the day ahead. In the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of
God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest with us now and forevermore.
Amen.
God bless and keep you. See you.